Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Minimum wage is bad. It's wrong, it's unethical, and I'd make the case it's unbiblical. Minimum wage. Okay, now that I got it out of the way, what I think of minimum wage. Did you hear me clearly? Let me repeat that. Minimum wage is bad, not good. Let me give a background why I'm even talking about minimum wage. Republican presidential debate, Fox Business Network, back on Tuesday, and there were protesters outside the debate demanding, listen to this, a $15 minimum wage, which is absolutely insane. I don't know what the federal minimum wage is right now, somewhere between $7 and $8, something like that, but they're demanding $15 minimum wage. And so that was also one of what I would say silly questions that was asked of the Republican candidates at the debate. Would you agree with raising the minimum wage to $15? Some out of nowhere arbitrary number, which I don't even understand. But, then it was, I would say, intended to make them look bad. Because obviously, if you say you're not in favor of raising the minimum wage, you look like an evil, mean, rich guy who doesn't want to pay workers. So kind of an irrelevant question that was brought up at the debate. And I want to talk to that. I want to answer that and give a clear answer, because the conservatives like Ted Cruz, who said no, adamantly no, Ben Carson, were spot on. Now, you've got these absurd, phony protests breaking out all across college campuses, including especially the epicenter, which is Mizzou at Columbia, Missouri, the University of Missouri. And there really no one can figure out what that's all about. It's obviously there's the race card is being played. But there's also this idea of fair treatment of students, and I'll get to that in a second. But just a comment on Mizzou. People don't realize some of these ringleaders of these protests are the same people from Ferguson, and these are people that are bought and sold by Democrat liberal community activists, people like, for example, George Soros, who is a huge lobbyist for the left, and they pay money to send people and bring people in from outside the community who have nothing to do with it to conjure up and to create, to stir up these riots and protests and to make it look like something natural and real. And it's not. It's phony. It's bought and paid for by liberal activists with hordes of money trying to create social unrest to advance an agenda. It's like a giant rent-a-mob. You see what I'm saying? Got to understand it that way. It's people that are brought in, bust in, they have nothing to do with the communities where these riots are happening, and they're paid money just to come in and create out of nothing a giant riot. And one of the protests beyond race, because that's kind of been shown, it's been debunked at Missouri, all these racist claims are being shown to have been false. One of the things that's coming out of this is these student protests over student rights. And in that whole conversation, this minimum wage issue has come up. It's a bunch of hired community organizers, and now we're all supposed to shudder and in the national conversation start discussing, oh, I guess everybody's angry. We got to increase the minimum wage. So obviously the racial card is being played, but in light of all this, you've seen the protests break out on other campuses. And then there was an interview with Neil Cavuto on Fox from this young lady, Keely Mullen. And I want to talk about that because it relates to minimum wage. She is the leader of the Million Student March. She's a national organizer. And apparently now, if you're angry about something, just create a million fill-in-the-blank march, and then you're justified. But here's the absurd claims of students across the country now, spoken by Keely Mullen. They want, number one, free public higher education. Did you hear me? Free college, public college. Two, they want cancellation of all student loans. I don't know what that means. Every person has a student loan, gone. And a $15 minimum wage, and that's what we're talking about. And when you ask how it should be paid for, obviously she said paid for by the evil rich 1% who need to be held accountable, in her words, and everybody needs to get back at them. Because obviously, because they're rich, they stole their money in a free market system. It doesn't belong to them. We should covet it. It belongs to us. And so this is how we should fund this insane socialist idea of the $15 minimum wage and paying off all the student loans and such. And by the way, if you confiscated all the money from the top 1%, you wouldn't even be able to pay down the U.S. debt or fund the U.S. government beyond a very limited amount of time. There's just not that much money in the top 1% to even fund the current federal programs we have. It's just the numbers don't match up, even if you robbed them completely and took all their money, and certainly not for these absurd claims being demanded by this college student. But that's the mentality, the entitlement mentality, the left. So why is minimum wage bad? Because people are so confused, and I want to talk about it and give you some quick bullet points on why minimum wage. I'll say it again. It's bad. It's wrong. It's unethical. I'd make the case it's unbiblical. Okay, number one, minimum wage creates less jobs. Because if you demand a certain expense and payment for an employee, that means the employees They cost money, and the cost of the employees goes up, so labor costs goes up, and the employers, the business owners, will hire less workers. Hiring expensive labor costs more money. Businesses will hire fewer people, or they'll fire the people that they already have because they can't afford to pay these higher salaries. Or worst case, the businesses will close down, which is the second thing why minimum wage is bad. It slows economic growth. Businesses don't expand when they're being forced to pay inflated compensation for employees. And so instead of continuing or expanding, they shut down, they close down. It kills businesses. Here's the third reason minimum wage is no good. It creates less jobs, it slows economic growth, and it stifles actual real wage increase. Pay increase no longer becomes an incentive to keep an employee. An employee is going to pay. An employer is going to pay a worker what he's worth. And if he's forced to pay these inflated compensation rates more than what the employee is worth, and everybody's getting the same $15 rate or whatever the minimum wage is, even what it currently is, then there's no reason to increase a worker's pay because everybody across the board is getting overpaid. And usually the reason you increase an employee's pay is because you don't want them to leave. You want them to stay at your company or business rather than go elsewhere. But there's no attraction to go elsewhere, because if you go elsewhere, you're going to get the exact same compensation. You're being overpaid at your current job. You'll get overpaid at your next job. And there's no difference between the jobs. So the employer knows that and is not going to do anything to incentivize you to stay. So it ends up stifling what would be wage increases that would motivate people to stay at a job or to go get another job. Number four, it de-incentivizes workers. So it causes the employer, we just said, not to want to increase wages because everybody's getting the same wage across the board. But on the employee side, there's no reason to work harder to earn more because they're already overpaid by the employer. So work ethic doesn't matter. It kills work ethic. There's no reason to work harder. You're not going to get paid more because the employer has, at a minimum cap, is not motivated to give you any more money for any harder work. The overpaid employee is just going to stay stagnant. All right, less jobs slows economic growth by killing businesses, stifles real wage increase because there's no competition for wages amongst differing companies for different employees. It de-incentivizes workers. And number five, it's arbitrary market management as opposed to the American model of free enterprise. It's arbitrary bureaucratic management. The American model is called laissez-faire economics, or hands-off. Get the hands off of the market and let it function. Another way we call it is capitalism. The most basic and biblical way is called the right to private property. Government should not be managing people's property. Government management always necessarily hinders production and prosperity. It is unnatural. It's contrived. It's synthesized by bureaucrats and has a contracting effect on the economy. It doesn't cause growth. It diminishes the economy. You have to understand, workers and their wages are a cost consideration for a business based upon the skill of the worker, the difficulty of the job, the skill level required for the job. And we're obviously talking with minimum wage about low-skilled jobs. That's not a bad thing. That's just what they are. Low-skilled jobs necessarily ought to be paid less. High minimum wage means that the employer will cancel the work that has to be done in order to cancel the cost. You see that? They'll just get rid of the work or outsource the work or somehow manage to get around the work so they can cancel paying the person, overpaying the person. Or what they're going to do is overwork less employees. So it's going to make the job harder on the people that work harder on the people that keep their jobs. An employer is not going to waste capital on what should otherwise be cheap human resources by overpaying someone for a job that isn't worth the money. An employer's not going to overpay somebody for a job that's not worth the money. It's going to stifle and contract the economy. And the sixth reason is this. It is completely unconstitutional. Nowhere does the Constitution authorize the federal government to step in and demand that businesses or employers compensate workers a certain amount of money, more or less. It's not constitutional. It is the government stepping outside of law and violating the legal boundaries of the social contract we have with the federal government. Okay, what about biblical considerations on work? So just to review, I said minimum wage creates less jobs, it slows economic growth by hurting businesses, it stifles actual real wage increase, it ruins the work ethic of employees, it is arbitrary management of the market, which is not our economic model, and it is unconstitutional. All right, so but that means, when I say unconstitutional, it means it's illegal. Minimum wage is illegal. It's not lawful under our system of government. Okay, what about biblical considerations on work? Let's talk about biblical considerations on, it doesn't speak directly about minimum wage, but extracting principles of work from the Bible, what can we say about minimum wage? The worker, the Bible says, deserves his what? His wages. Not less than that, but not more. Not more. Arbitrary payment to workers of additional monies that they don't deserve is not biblical. The worker deserves his wages. Second, if a man shall not work, he shall not eat, which means you have to work to get paid to eat. You have to work to deserve what you get. And you get what you deserve. Not get more than you deserve because of contrived, selfish, socialist demands. So the society starts demanding additional things they don't deserve, and they want this, again, it's theft. It's coveting. Give me what I don't deserve. No, the Bible says you're going to work, you're going to eat. You don't work, you don't eat. It's a very simple mathematic equation. What you put in is what you get out, and that's what you deserve. No more. Slaves, submit to your earthly masters. Another biblical principle. Well, coveting your master's property, being embittered at your master and resisting your master's authority and trying to rob his property is not submitting to your earthly masters. It says elsewhere in the Bible that slaves should not even talk back to their masters. Now, we interpret that as not condoning slavery, but employee to employer. Respect your employer's property and authority, not kick against his authority and scream and make demands to rob his property. And then the Bible also says this, masters, treat your servants justly. So that means you can't force them to become your slave and not compensate them. Obviously, the worker, we just said, deserves his wages, but treat your servant justly. Pay the worker what he's owed, not more, not less. And that's at the discretion of the master. And here's the thing, what if he's not paying you enough? Well, then get a higher skill set, get better qualifications, and go get a better job where you're going to get paid more. But to demand the government to unlawfully rob the master's property to feed your greed is nowhere biblical. Nowhere biblical. Listen, masters are called to compensate, yes, but compensate justly. And it is the prerogative of the employer to determine just compensation. And in a free market, which respects and upholds a person's private property rights, both worker and employer, then if you don't like the compensation, like I said, leave and go find another job. No one is advocating slavery, uncompensated forced labor. Just saying, go get a job where the guy pays you what you want and what you're worth. And that's biblical. If we're going to agree that slavery is wrong and masters need to treat their workers with respect and give them proper compensation, the wages they deserve, then we also have to agree, if slavery is wrong, then forced socialist government management of employers' property, stealing their property and giving it unlawfully and unfairly over to the worker, we got to agree that that's also unbiblical. If not paying the worker his wages, the worker deserves his wages, if that's unbiblical, then we also have to agree that stealing the property of the employer through socialism is also unbiblical. Okay, and the last thing, a biblical consideration, is, again, the right to private property. Government is not entitled to violate the right to private property. It's a biblical law and an ethical law. Money, capital, paid out in wages, is the private property of the employer that is sustained and protected under the law in a civil, orderly, lawful society. It's not something to be stolen, violated, coveted, or used as a bribery tactic for authoritarian bureaucrats to try and court people's votes. You got to understand that's what minimum wage is. It's government bureaucrats and politicians trying to sway people and court their votes and consolidate their support and votes by saying, we're going to rob from your employer and give you extra money. It's bribery. That's what socialism is. It's bribery. Unbiblical, adamantly. Private property, protecting the right to private property, what we would loosely term capitalism, is the only biblical model. We are teaching people, we are teaching the next generation, we're teaching workers that they should resist their earthly masters and bosses and employers. Stealing from employers what we would loosely term biblically masters, or demanding that the authorities in the workforce, which would be the bosses, demanding that that they unfairly pay more than workers have earned, that's not submission. That's not advocating submission in the workplace. That's teaching people to rebel against earthly authority seen in the workplace. And as I've said, that's selfishness. It's coveting. It's overturning property, particularly the property rights of the boss. And again, this is only immediately alluring to the currently employed who just are selfish and covet and want more money and hate the fact that their boss is a boss and is in the position of authority, is in the position of master, and does own the money. This is jealousy in the truest sense, coveting. But it's only immediately alluring to the guy who's got the job and wants more money. It's not the jobless guy who'd much rather get any paycheck than demand this absurd $15 limit and then ends up with no job offer because that worker just became too expensive for the market for a low-skilled job. Or there's just less jobs available, there's less positions available because, like we said already, employers are canceling job opportunities. So here's what I'm trying to say. It's alluring to the person with the job who wants more money. It's not alluring to the jobless guy who just lost job opportunities because there's less jobs in the job market. It's not alluring to the guy with no job who'd rather just get a paycheck than make this absurd, silly demand about a cap on how much they're supposed to get paid. A guy with no work would rather get the job and work for less money so he can at least provide and have some income. This minimum wage thing is not good for the economy. It's not good for workers. It's not good for people. It's not good for the poor, for the jobless, for people who need work and experience and income to make money and become an involved member of the society, someone who's participating, someone who's investing, and someone who is producing in the society. So this is not good for any worker or any person, no matter what demographic. People need jobs, need work, need compensation, and need to receive just and appropriate compensation as determined by employers. Don't believe the hype. It's leftists trying to manipulate people to get their vote. Minimum wage is not about caring for the poor. It hurts the poor. It's not about civil rights. It's not civil rights. It's socialism, intended to consolidate more managing authority in the hands of the government. It's authoritarianism, an expanse of government power over the free society, the civil society. It's market manipulation by government bureaucrats and politicians who want to bribe greedy, lazy people to vote for them. The bribery happens through the promise of inflated compensation that is unjust, unlawful, arbitrary, and really amounts to nothing more than the theft of people's private property, namely the property of the business owner, the employer, the taxpayers, the civilians in this country. And that's another thing. It is completely arbitrary. Yes, $15. That's a good minimum wage now. What? Who said that? When did it become $15? It's merely a random amount a politician decides that day will get him the most votes and the most outcry from rioting workers. It's a politician licking their finger, sticking it in the air, getting the wind of popular opinion, or trying to move the wind of popular opinion themselves through riots, and then saying, here's the amount now we have to pay people. It's ridiculous. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Minimum wage comes at a cost to businesses and the poor and American workers who end up with less money, less opportunity, and less jobs. It's smoke and mirrors through and through. So don't believe the hype about minimum wage. And when a liberal starts crying and playing the victim card saying we don't care about poor people, about workers, tell them they can fork over all of their private property to low-skilled workers and leave our stuff alone. Sorry, college students nationwide. Unfortunately, I have to break this news to you. Something you haven't obviously learned yet on your liberal campuses. Sorry for the rude awakening. But listen up, nothing in life is free. So if you want it, work for it. And then go pay for it, whether higher education or anything else. It's your responsibility to provide. That's the reality of life. And the rest of us hardworking Americans in the real world who get that, well, we just held your yuppie college town feet to the fire.